You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You're listening to the Sticks in the Six podcast. Here are your co-hosts, Andrew Forbes, Peter Barachini, and Alex Hopton.
Well, good evening, folks, and welcome back after a little two-week hiatus, boys, for the Sticks in the Six podcast, but episode 154. We got the trio back together on game night for our Maple Leafs, obviously brought to you by the fine folks at the Hockey Podcast Network, as well as DraftKings. Boys, it's been a couple weeks since we've seen each other. I know we've at least a couple of us have had some ups and downs here this past couple weeks, but we'll throw it to you first. Peter, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, man. Yeah, definitely a lot of ups and downs, ups and flows for us the last few weeks. Don't want to get too much, but like, you know what, I'm just going to keep it simple. Stress free right now. Stress is gone. Everything's okay. Dealt with a little bit of personal issues. I don't want to dwell too much into that because I'm kind of like a private person in that regard. But everything is okay right now. Just a little hiccup and a minor bump in the road, literally. And yeah, everything's totally fine right now on my end. Everything's looking up. Can't complain. How about you guys?
Well, buddy, we're glad you're doing well. Alex, it's been a couple weeks since we've had you on. You've been busy with the music train, I've seen. So how you doing?
Yeah, it's been a week of ups and downs, to say the least, or a couple weeks of ups and downs, rather, to say the least. I've had some really solid ups. Like you said, I played some shows opening up for an up and coming country singer in Kingston, Ontario, and in Kitchener as well. So it was fun to do a hometown show, and we played shows with this girl Robin Ottolini. She's amazing. Look her up. But we played some shows with her back in November, and then they apparently liked what they saw out of our act because they invited us back for a couple more shows in March. So had a great time doing that. It's also been a triumphant return to ball hockey season for French and Fried, where our game on Monday, we overcame a 4-2 deficit to come back and win 7-4. So we're 2-1 on the season now. Obviously, we unfortunately couldn't hit the undefeated mark. We lost our first game of the year, but there's nothing wrong with going 13-1 instead of 14-0. On top of that, the downs, on the other hand, during that aforementioned leg of country shows, and especially the week afterwards, I just got slapped with a brutal case of strep throat. And then as soon as I recovered from it, it turned into this weird like cough flu kind of thing. I was just not feeling myself for a week or so. So, and then on top of that, once I recovered from my sickness, I got slapped in the face with some Taxoing. So Jesus. It's been very up and down for me over here at Camp Hobson. But like Peter, I think we've kind of achieved a middle ground here. Things have calmed down a little bit. So we're doing good out here. Hopefully you can say the same for you.
Yeah, it's been a wild couple of weeks. We've kind of talked off the air between the three of us. I'm going to kick it off real quick with some notes on the podcast. We just had our best quarter since joining the Hockey Podcast Network. We crushed it on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed yet, make sure you do. Hit us up on YouTube. It's all of our socials are down below, like Peter was just showing you. But the folks on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, they've been checking us out a lot lately, which is awesome. The more we grow, the more we can provide for you guys. And it's great to see that, you know, even after close to four seasons, we're still seeing an uptick in traffic and, you know, viewership and all you guys tuning in. And still, I think we're going on 3 or 4 months in the top 200 in Switzerland in hockey podcasts. So, I mean, shout out to the Swiss.
Let's go.
We got our Swiss ties, man. I was in Zurich on the day that Auston Matthews extended. It was a big day.
Hey. I'm convinced that Joe Thornton's out there living life in Switzerland with his wife and just tuning into Sticks in the Six every once in a while. So,
of course, what else do you do if you're in Switzerland and you're a retired NHL player?
That's right.
That's the dream right there. Retired, listening to Sticks in the Six, you know, that's all that matters. Man,
that's right. But before we get into more of the hockey talk, I just wanted to quickly give you guys a couple of stories. I played hero, also decided to tear up my wrist at work recently. We got a new boss, so you know he was overseeing us changing some uprights and you know, a nice hour and 45 minute job. Obviously didn't go about it the right way, and I had one of my employees off to the side holding one of the crossbars that go across, holding up all the product in the steel. Well, buddy decides to let it go right as I get my side out, and at my arm literally swings like a pendulum. Our new manager standing right below us from our scissor lift. And had I not held on to it, it would have been a very short stint for our new manager
God, man.
Sacrificed the arm for the new guy. And obviously, you know, in the good books right away, but
take him up for the team.
Those are good brownie points right there.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you're not hurting yourself for your new boss, what are you doing?
Exactly.
Down the line, the boss is going to be like, I remember this guy.
I hope so. I hope it's not one of those "what have you done for me lately" kind of things. But I got another story for you. It's not actually my story. So it's my wife works at a pet store, and somebody left their phone there. Anyways, it was an Android, and they obviously didn't put a lock on it. This one's like, it's one of those crazy stories that you hear on like TikTok or something like that. But anyways, they're looking at some of the messages, trying to find out whose phone it is. This message pops up, and it says, "I hope that you end up alone because of all the deceit and lies over the last little while. Have fun with all your gangbangs."
Oh,
whoa. Okay.
So, I mean, they did get in contact with the owner of the phone. I don't know where it's gone since then. I haven't really asked. I think the best part of the story is over, but
I feel like your wife just stumbled into a Netflix series or something. Like that's wild. Yeah. I feel like we're kind of left hanging here. I need to know the next part of this story.
Something like a White Lotus or something, or
even one of the customers that was at the store at the time was like, "I'm so invested in this story already." And it was like 5 minutes of their time. But yeah, so it's been a fun week. It's been a wild week. You know, I'm glad all three of us are doing well and getting it back together. The Leafs obviously are trending upwards as well. Big win against Florida this past week. Montreal did them a favor by beating Florida in regulation as well. Now it's up to the Leafs. They control their destiny when it comes to home ice advantage. But before we get into all of that, we have to talk about Auston Matthews. 62 goals. I'd be taking him tonight for a goal as well. I mean, this is a guy that's got 8 games to get 8 goals to hit that 70 mark. Alex, what do you think about this new franchise mark, this new career high? Auston Matthews might be the greatest goal scorer of all time.
I mean, you can go back to the episode we recorded after he had 60 goals for the first time. You can go back to any episode where he did something crazy. And what I'm about to say is probably something I've already said a million times already. But what I'll default to is this. Every time Auston Matthews does something that's just – like you see it happen and you're like, how am I blessed to be able to watch this in person, live in real time? I always look back to around the time when I first started watching hockey. It was maybe a couple years into it when I just had to make sure I wasn't on mute there for a second. Whoops. anyway, I saw a message pop up in the corner, Forbes. I was wondering if maybe you guys
just my pronunciation.
That's okay. Anyway,
side notes there.
That's all good. Anyways, little false alarm for me there because I know I muted myself. Really. Anyway, I don't know why I'm still talking about this. So, Auston Matthews, great player, as we all know. And every time he does something like this, I default to the couple years after I started watching hockey. And I think it was the 2009-2010 season when Phil Kessel led the team with 55 points. Not even goals, points. So it's just, you know, when you, I know that everybody loves to create these narratives and everyone loves to create discourse about the Matthews, Marner, the core four, how they can't get it done in the playoffs, how they can't, you know, they're not tough enough to succeed when it matters, et cetera, et cetera. And while there is certainly an argument to be made at certain points about those conversations, I also think that before anything else, you got to sit back and just bask in the greatness. I'm sorry. I understand that it can get sick and tiring watching, you know, hyping these guys up when they're out in seven games in the playoffs every year or whatever. 62 goals is something that we're probably not going to see again for a very long time once Austin Matthews retires. And he's in the prime of his career. He's only 26 years old. So, I mean, I don't have anything else to say, but enjoy it. And I say this, I'd say this to kids who are just getting into hockey and unfortunately pick the Leafs as their team for the first time. The playoffs are going to, they're going to hurt you. They're going to leave some scars, but Austin Matthews is doing something that this franchise has not seen in a long, hasn't seen ever. I mean, like they haven't seen a level even close to that in a long time. So yeah, I mean, he's got 62 goals. He could score 70, which is fucked. And that's where I'm going to leave it.
Yeah, so only nine players in the history of the NHL have scored 60 goals twice. He is the only active player to do so, which is crazy to think when you think of the likes of Alex Ovechkin. Mm-hmm. But Peter, we are literally witnessing history. This guy's on a tear. He's on the verge of reaching marks that Ovechkin didn't hit in his run to possibly breaking Gretzky's record at some point over the next couple of seasons. What's your takeaway from Austin Matthews right now with 62 goals going in with eight games left?
Yeah, you just mentioned it right now. The only current NHL player to have multiple 60 goal seasons, more than Connor McDavid, more than David Pastrnak, more than Alex Ovechkin, more than Steven Stamkos, all of them have one. Austin Matthews has two already. And We're talking about like Ovechkin's goal record, how he got 65 when he was 22 years old. Austin Matthews got 60 the first time when he was 24. And he already has another 60 goal season under his belt before Ovechkin has another one. And obviously we're talking about like how Ovechkin's out at the tail end of his career chasing down that record. Again, this is a guy that's in his prime right now. This is a guy that's doing damage consistently night in, night out. And I don't think that this will be the last time that we will see 60 goals. And still 70 is still in the realm of possibility. I mean, he needs to go like maybe, I don't know, maybe he needs to have like a lot of multi-point or multi-goal games down this stretch in order to, you know, he needs seven more to hit 70. That's all he needs. He just needs eight more goals. Sorry, I can't even count right now. He needs eight more goals to reach that mark. If he's able to do that in these final seven or so games, this is history in the making. This is something that hasn't happened since 92-93. This is a guy that's on a mission to become one of the best goal scorers and possibly pass Ovechkin if maybe he passes Wayne Gretzky. We don't know. It's still too early to tell. But again, Alex has said this on multiple occasions. This is something that we need to sit back and enjoy the ride because he is already cementing himself as the greatest Maple Leaf of all time. I mean, when was the last time that we had this type of caliber of player? Never. I mean, you could say that maybe Matt Sundin, when he was coming up in the 90s, he was still like, you know, a lethal, high-end talent, great, big Sundin fan. But now that Matthews is, you know, blowing the competition out of the water right now, chasing down 70, This is impeccable. This is great stuff. And it's a reason why he's in that conversation for the Hart Trophy right now. Is he probably going to get it as MVP? I don't know. But he's thrown his name into the mix. And it's not just a three-way race between Kucherov, McDavid, and McKinnon right now. You have another. It's basically a four-headed battle right now to win that award. And Matthews is doing just that. I mean, what we're witnessing is a great, and I don't think, I think we will see another 60 goal season next year and the season after that. And this is going to be cakewalk for him. you know, 30 easy. We know he's going to get 40. Yeah. We're going to see a lot more 50, 60 goals down in the near future.
What I think is crazy about this entire thing is, so he's played 554 games. He is 59 goals away from tying Matt Sundin for the all-time franchise record. And Matt Sundin did 981 games, I believe, of 981. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you talk about him being the greatest leaf of all time. I don't think there's any question that he's the GOAT. And the fact that he could potentially next season set the franchise record for goals is insane to think about. On top of that, he could finish this season in the top three, four goals away from arguably one of the greatest Leafs of all time, Dave Keon, and tying him at 365. So, yeah, the fact that he's been able to put up 62 goals this season, the fact that he's, you know, eight away from 70. And I mean, let's be honest, the last couple of weeks, he's been on, you know, a little bit of a downslope in terms of his production
when it comes more to of goals. A playmaker.
And that's insane to think about. That's insane. The fact that he's stepped away from the goal scoring, the depth forwards have kind of picked up the slack and he's played more of a 200-foot game. He's playing on the PK. You know, the fact that he's been able to do what he's done, like there should be zero question that he's a Selke finalist. There should be zero question that he's a Hart Trophy finalist. I know the names that are there. I know MacKinnon, what he's done this season. I mean, that's been incredible. I know what Kucherov's done this season. That's incredible. McDavid with his, you know, with his assist totals. Think about this. This should be a six-name race right now. You got Crosby, who mm-hmm. tied Gretzky for the most point-per-game seasons. That's got to be recognized on a team that potentially might not be making the playoffs, but you know where I stand on MVPs on non-playoff teams. But then you've also got guys like Sam Reinhart, 52 goals and what he's done for Florida. You've got Zach Hyman, who, I mean, if you're going to put McDavid in there for the Hart Trophy, you might as well put Zach Hyman in there as well as a 52 goal scorer as well. Yeah. Like those are the names you have to think about. But when you talk about what they've done for their team, when this team could not score, their bottom six could not put the puck in the net. Auston Matthews has had how many hat tricks this season? I believe it's seven. Is it seven hat tricks this season?
Believe so,
I could be wrong, but I think it's in that range of 6 to 7 hat tricks this season. This guy is an MVP. This guy is the epitome of your most valuable player. Marner's been out this year. Riley's been out this year. You know, Nylander's another guy who's put up 40 goals, and we're not even talking about William Nylander. It's crazy to think about. But what Matthews has done this year, there's no question that he's got to be in the Hart conversation. And the fact that he's kind of the fourth to this three-headed horse is, you know, it's crazy to think about. But they're saying all the right things right now. Keith's saying, I don't care about 70. Matthews is saying, I don't care about 70. It's kind of going back to the summer where we were talking about contracts and both Nylander and Matthews were saying, well, we don't care. We're focused on the now and we love being here. And they're saying all the right things. I care. I want 70. I want to see 70. I want to see 70, boys. I want to see another two tonight. And we haven't even touched on the fact that out of those 62 goals, two of them have been empty netters. And that's in the last week and a half.
Mm-hmm. Forbes, just to fact check what you said, six hat tricks on the year for Matthews.
You were right
about the range.
Was just about to say the same right now.
I was envisioning the hat trick he's going to score tonight against Tampa Bay.
My favorite part of scrolling through Auston Matthews' game log this year is looking at his penalty minutes and just seeing 0-0-0-0-0-12-0-0-0-0. Especially when you go back and watch what happened in that game and the fact that he literally got a 10-minute misconduct for hugging Tage Thompson for 16 seconds. It was the funniest thing. Anyway.
But isn't it crazy, too? Like, even the conversation we were having last season was, you know, he smiles as everybody else on his line gets involved. Now we're talking about a guy who he's only hugging Tage Thompson, but the fact is he's getting in the mix a little bit. And
I think that fight with Stamkos in the playoffs really struck a chord, not just with him, but with, like, it ignited a fire within him, but everyone else, showing that, you know what, you really don't want to see your star players go at it, But in an instance when you have to, he's a guy that could hold his own, and he got some pretty good looks at Stamkos during that, you know, melee after the whole point Riley mix up or whatever. He really went after him, and this is a guy that can hold his own if and when he chooses to.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Let's talk about this last week here. Obviously, we mentioned the Florida game. We mentioned Buffalo. A team in Buffalo that normally finds a way to kick Toronto's ass for whatever reason. They can't get this QEW thing going for in the Leafs' favor. But Florida was the big one for me. This is a team that you likely are going to see in the playoffs, if not the first round, probably the second round. They're a team that went all the way to the Stanley Cup final last season. They've, I would say, bettered themselves in the sense that, you know, I mean, we all remember the image of Radko Gudas, but they kind of got him out. He was aside from his physicality, which is sometimes questionable, he's a plug. So, I mean, they got rid of him. They kind of upgraded in that sense. Bob Brovsky's having a bit of an off season, but Peter, how important was that win against Florida, knowing that not only did you pick up two big points, but you put yourself in a position to control your own destiny in terms of home ice advantage come playoff time?
Yeah, because they're now just 4 points back of the Panthers for that second spot. So that's a huge win. And plus, like you mentioned, Montreal did them a huge favor. But if what we saw in the first 40 minutes, because the last 20 was kind of a mix-up or mashup of, you know, the old Maple Leafs trying to defend the lead when they should have kept their foot on the gas and not let up. Different story. I'm not going to get into that. But in that first 40 minutes, if we are able to see that just down the stretch and into the postseason, if they do play the Florida Panthers, sign me up, because they outmatched them skill-wise, physicality. I thought they handled themselves very well. And Ryan Reeves set the tone with that big hit on Mikko Mikkola. I think that was a tipping point where, you know what? Okay. We know that you play with that bit of an edge. You know, we know you could get on the forecheck. So can we. And Reeves is a pretty, for all the flack that he does get in terms of not being a big producer, he can skate and he could get in on the attack. So if he's able to establish that and be physical in the corners offensively, and we saw that because of, you know, of that, we saw it in Buffalo, because I believe Connor Dewar scored his goal and the fourth line had a good shift. David Kemp scored against the Panthers, had a good shift. This fourth line is actually matching up to showing that they can be a key line against a top team when they have those opportunities. When they're in the offensive zone, they can literally do some damage. But overall, you know, you got contributions from the depth. The star players still came out shining with Austin Matthews. If they're able to replicate that game 6-7 more times against the Panthers, then this is a team that can, you know, they're going in as an underdog. They could very well be that team that goes the distance if they continue to have that mentality. And Burt was getting into it. Domi was getting into it. You know, they're showing that tenacity and edge in the last few games, especially against Florida as well. They're able to show that. Sign me up, because I initially, if they were to play the Florida Panthers, I thought maybe if they're lucky, they win one game again. And I think they would get swept. But that game, that really, you know, they set the tone. They really knew what they were doing, and they proved that they could play against the best of the best. That's what you want to see. This is a primer for the playoffs, and I think they delivered. Just can't let that extra 20 minutes get away from them and keep the pedal to the metal.
Yeah, Alex, I think we're kind of talking about a team that's, they were a little off, say, 3 weeks ago, maybe even a month ago. We talked about it a few pods ago where, you know, if the Leafs are going to go into a cold streak, they need to do it now prior to the end of the season, get it out of their system, kind of know what they're looking at heading into the playoffs. Now you're seeing them play against teams like Florida that they need to beat come playoff time. And they're doing it with a little bit more tenacity, a little bit more, you know, piss and vinegar, like we talked about in the offseason. What are your thoughts on the game against Florida and what we could see come playoff time?
I mean, I was fully on board with it because, like Peter said, they obviously came out and they set the tone early. They matched up really well physically, like way better than they did in the playoffs last year. And obviously everybody's going to point to that they almost blew a lead, but and trust me, I'm someone that has not shied away from being critical on them when they do that, because there's so many games in the past where it should have been an easy win and it either spiraled into a loss or it ended up being way closer than it had to be. And it gets old after a while. But that being said, I do not care whatsoever that they almost blew that lead, because as much as you can tie it over to the Leafs' bad habits and taking their foot off the gas, et cetera, et cetera, I don't think they took their foot off the gas in that game. I think Florida just came back with a good response because they're a really good hockey team. And people will forget that, you know, obviously Florida's been on a bit of a cold streak lately. And the Leafs, you know, the way they've been playing, you know, with the talent they have, they should be able to shut games down like this. And I'm not really sorry. Someone just laid a big hit on William Nylander. There's a little physical fireworks going on early in this game. Anyways, I think overall it's not a big deal. I mean, Florida's a good team, you know, coming out and completely mailing it in for the first two periods of the game. You knew that Paul Maurice gave him an ass kicking at second intermission, and you know that they're going to come back and they're going to give you a push. And I think that especially in today's NHL, blown leads and comebacks and stuff, like, they're a lot more common than they used to be. This is not like, you know, this is not your league where players, you know, what year was it, like 2014, when Jamie Benn won the Hart Trophy with 87 points. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. The league has come so far offensively. There's so many more goals happening, and that's not an excuse. I'm not saying that's, you know, it's fine, whatever. There's more goal scorers now, so the Leafs are okay to blow leads. But I also think that the narrative really takes a step forward here, and people are quick to assume Leafs blown lead, they're never going to change, they're the same they've always been. But the reality is the game has changed and there's more blown leads across the league. And if you don't think that's the case, then you only watch the Leafs. You don't watch other teams. So I'm not upset. I'm not really upset over it. I will say that if the Leafs did blow that lead and then the Jays proceeded to get no hit by the Astros, that would have been an all-time terrible sports day as a Toronto fan. But they didn't do that. The Leafs held on, which obviously bode well for them in the end. So yeah, I was pretty happy with their performance overall, but I do need to see that continue into the playoffs. And ideally they'll be able to tighten up and not let those leads slip away.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's worth noting too, at the end of the game, they did come up with two big defensive stops that, you know, it allowed them to get the empty netter, but two, shut down that game and escape with a 6-4 win. Obviously Samsonov played really well through the first two periods, had some big saves down the stretch, which helped them as well. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, a win's a win. When it comes to playoff time, you got to win four games. It doesn't matter how you do it. Yeah, it's definitely something that, I don't know what happened there, but
thanks for the surprise close up.
somebody wanted to feature me, I guess. 4K, get in on those pores. Anyways, boys, as you mentioned, the game is going on right now. The Maple Leafs, Tampa Bay. There's a lot of history there. If you are interested in getting in on the betting, make sure you head over to DraftKings Sportsbook. They do have live in-game betting, and right now, you know, we know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbooks, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. And you can lay it right on Austin Matthews at -140 to score tonight, get number 63, well on his way to that 70 mark. I'm jumping the gun here, going 80, but
80 mark.
Hey, why not? Why not?
I meant the 8 goals he needs to get to 70. Anyways, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
I just want to say, I hope a lot of people put the over on Reeves.
I was just going to say
a massive game for hits because he's already had three massive ones.
Yeah. I was just like Forbes the entire time you were doing that ad read, I was sidetracked. He laid a big hit on Matt Dumba and then he laid an even bigger one on Victor Hedman, which Victor Hedman's not a small player.
No,
Ryan Reeves ain't coming out of the lineup for playoffs.
No, I don't think that's
what we're going to see.
That's, you know what though? That's why you acquired this guy, man. Like you got to, he's going to turn it up at this time too. He understands what's at stake. He's been on some playoff teams before. So, you know, that's what we got to look forward to. But guys, I don't want to hold Leaf fans for too long. I know there's a bunch of them tuning in, which is crazy right now. We appreciate anybody that's tuned into the game as well as the yes. Sticks in the Six podcast. So quickly, the kid line, you know, what do you see in here, Peter?
They're getting results. I mean, they've had back-to-back games of goals. Matthew Nyes has had two terrific feeds to Nick Robertson, and he's turned on the Jets for a partial breaks or full-on breakaways, and he's buried his chances. You love to see that, but at the same time, not to be that, you know, that stat nerd or whatever, but, you know, you look at the underlying numbers, and it's not pretty. They get hemmed in their zone. There are defensive issues and deficiencies, but you can't help but see that when they are in the offensive zone, the last few games, Pontus Holmberg, Nick Robertson, and Matthew Nyes have done their job and they have buried their chances, which is great to see. Need to tighten it up. You could, again, Keith has said that, you know, the immaturity or the inexperience from the younger guys kind of playing in right now, especially Matthew Nyes, where he's playing in a full season. Robertson's trying to stay in the lineup. But hopefully they're able to overcome that if they do stick with that into the playoffs. I don't know if that's going to work out, but love what I see. Just want to see a bit more consistency away from the puck because that has just been the biggest issue for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Alex, what's your take on this kid line getting a little few more opportunities? It's looked good offensively, defensively, like Peter mentioned, a few holes that need to be fixed.
Boys, I'll tell you, I'm gonna focus solely on Nick Robertson here because I feel like everyone knows that Matthew Nyes is going to be a big part of the future, and I feel like everyone knows that Pontus Holmberg kind of is what he is at this point. He's a reliable depth forward with some sneaky offensive ability. I have been so up and down on what the Leafs should be doing with Nick Robertson this offseason, and the way that he's gelled on this kid line lately, I think they got to hold on to him in the offseason, man. I think that when you look at the Leafs lineup for next year and their cap structure and how much money is like people have been talking about how much money they have tied into their core four, it's going to be even more next year. So they're going to need guys on cheap deals more than ever. You know, we talk about Fraser Minton probably getting a full-time job next year. We talk about Easton Cowan potentially getting one as well. Nick Robertson's still on a cheap deal. And I mean, this is a guy that can, if you keep that kid line together, I don't know if I can see that line staying together in the playoffs. Maybe occasionally here and there, if the team needs to get an offensive boost and maybe cheat for offense a little bit. But I think overall that team or that line should be a line next season. And I think that they've displayed, I know it's early. I know they haven't really had a ton of games together, but you've got your sniper in Robertson, you've got your power forward in Nyes, and you've got your two-way playmaker type in Holmberg. I mean, I think it's a third line that could be really, really effective next year. And I'd like to see them keep it together for a little bit this season. I know it's going to be tough when Cali Yarncroke comes back, but I think at bare minimum, they got to use that next year and maybe give it a look in the playoffs. I'm not expecting that, but I think that the line has definitely shown some potential that it's worth a second look.
Why not take the chemistry that they have now? I think on top of what you've said about Robertson, it's the first time in his pro career that he's had that little bit of confidence jumping into the NHL and being able to play to a level that was expected of him when he was drafted. You know, the injuries aside, this kid's had a tough run trying to get his footing at the NHL level. And finally, he seems to be, you know, clicking. He seems to have found his spot in the lineup. And if you can have Nick Robertson as a third liner at the NHL level, like, I mean, it's crazy to think about that, but I agree. I'd like to see them kind of push this a little bit longer and maybe give them an opportunity in the playoffs and see what they can do. And maybe that gives you an idea of what you need to do in the offseason. Maybe you move on from Yarncroke. I don't know. There's lots of options there. But in speaking of that, I will quickly mention in passing, obviously the Leafs signed an NCAA free agent in Jacob Quillen, I believe. Quillen is what we're saying?
Quillen.
I always love getting the NCAA free agents. You see guys like Tyler Bozak came out of, NCAA free agency. And there's a lot of speculation around this kid. I don't know if either of you guys want to add anything to that. I haven't watched a lot of his games, so I'd love to sit back and see a little bit more before I comment on it. But Peter, you tend to be our prospect guy. So what have you seen from Quillen?
Imagine the awkwardness that Matthew Nyes and Quillen are going to be when they first see each other, because Quillen, knocked out Minnesota in that Frozen Four with that overtime game winner. And everything that you saw in that shift is basically Quillen in a nutshell. Hardworking, hard nose, drives hard to the net, has that work ethic, and he has some size and he has some bite to him. So he has that kind of middle six power forward in your face mentality that the Maple Leafs need. I think there's a lot of potential, because there's even talks, I believe it was Frank Saravalli, that said that, there's more upside with Quillen than there is with Colin Graf, and he's more of the more sought after free agents in the NCAA. So that says a lot. And you know what, if you get a top 10 NCAA pick, there's no risk to it. If it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I like the upside that Quillen brings, because he's that new type of character player that has that edge, that has that bite, but could still be, a mid-tier producer offensively for this team. And, had a big shout out to Chris Bork, because I believe he's their NCAA scout. If he had a say in that, then that's a pretty good signing right there.
Yeah, there you go. So, guys, before we close out here, obviously 12:30 left in the first period of tonight's game. We want to get a big W from the Leafs. So I know all of us want to go and watch the game. Bubble players heading into the playoffs is going to be a topic we talk about throughout the next couple of weeks here as we close out the regular season. Alex, I'm going to throw it to you. Who's in? Who's out? Do we have a starter in net?
If you're asking me who the starter is right now, I'd probably say Ilya Samsonov, just because – you can say whatever you want about his struggles early on. And I do think that Wall's style of play is probably better suited for playoffs. But fact of the matter is, Samsonov's been better in the second half of the season than Wall has. And he was also the one goalie to get the Leafs out of the first round for the first time in 19 years, which nobody will ever be able to take away from him. So I'm probably starting Samsonov. The bubble players is a really good question. Unfortunately, as much as I don't want this to be the case, it's probably going to be Nick Robertson coming out of the lineup for game one, just because honestly, if you're watching this pod right now and not watching the Leaf game, go and watch Ryan Reeves' first shift of the game against Tampa. Mm-hmm. And that shift, honestly, like Nick Richard, our valued friend of the show and another fellow prospect contributor, as he tweeted, he said, if Ryan Reeves didn't have his spot locked into the lineup before tonight, then that shift might have just done it for him. That's how good it was. And I mean, you're going to need that physicality. You saw the impact that he had against the Florida Panthers. This is a guy who can go out and as long as he can keep up with the pace of the play, his presence is going to be a factor. So, if you asked me a month ago, I might say that Reeves, I don't know if he's going to be in the lineup game one, but at this point, I think you're getting more having Reeves in the lineup than Robertson. So, as much as it would suck for Robertson, I think he's one of the guys to come out. And then after that, I would assume probably Pontus Holmberg next. I don't see them benching Connor Dewar after trading for him at the deadline. And also Dewar's been great on the penalty kills. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure I see that happening, but I think it's going to be one of those things where the Leafs really have a solid thing going in that they've got a good amount of depth, and you can make all your comments you want about, oh, their defense isn't good enough, so how do they have depth, et cetera, et cetera. They've got 7 capable defensemen, and they've got 14 or 15 capable forwards that they can rotate or not, depending on how things are going. So people might not want to see Reeves in there over Robertson. People might not want to see, TJ Brody in there over Simone Benoit or whatever you'll have it. But the reality is, I wouldn't expect any player to be permanently out of the lineup unless the team goes on a torrid run with a certain set lineup and they don't want to change anything. I think that there's going to be a lot of back and forth, a lot of guys coming in, a lot of guys coming out. And it'll start with Robertson and probably Simone Benoit, to be honest, with the way TJ Brody's been playing. Tampa scored, by the way. I think that there's going to be a lot of options going forward, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good problem to have the decisions that they have to make. Obviously, Bobby McMahon's, you know, earned himself a spot in the lineup. I think, you have to talk about, a guy like Matthew Nyes. He's obviously a guy that's going to be the future of this franchise. He's not coming out. Cali Yarncroak, again, is a question mark coming off injury. You know, where does he fit in? Where does he slot in? The issue is you take out Pontus Holmberg, you take out Robertson, all of a sudden you're breaking up that line. Mm-hmm. I think this is the perfect opportunity. These last eight games, Robertson needs to use them as an opportunity to try out for a playoff position. And he's got to put everything on the line to find a way to get his name in the conversation. On the back end, they always say you can't have enough defense when you're talking about the playoffs. Injuries happen. We see it every year, all the injuries that end up, coming out following the playoffs. So you can't have enough defensemen, but I agree with you, Alex. I think right now you have to go back to Samsonov as your starter. As much as Joseph Wall's played well, he hasn't played as well as he did to start the year since coming back from injuries. And Samsonov's battled through everything that's been thrown at him this season, and he's come back stronger than ever. So, Peter, your thoughts on the bubble players before we close out here, my friend?
Yeah, really no argument with what you or Alex said. I think the big one too, I think is going to be Connor Dewar over someone like Noah Gregor. You know, this is a guy that we thought that, he could provide that speed, the PK factor, he could score some goals, but he's gone cold himself, and Dewar has been a little bit more. He's been more utilized, and he can bring a little bit more because he can be a little bit more consistent, and they can drive offense a little bit better when he's on the ice. So that's one thing that I really think needs to be set in stone right there. You can't take Dewar out because you acquired him. I think this is a good piece that they brought in. The other things are going to be, Robertson, Reeves in and out, but I think Ryan Reeves really cemented himself, especially since coming back from his injury too. Not just in the small sample size in the last few weeks. He's really been progressively getting better since January on, and I've really liked his game since then. You can't take him out at that point. And it's interesting to see what's going to happen with Yarncroak, because now it creates that logjam in the bottom six. So like you said, Andrew, that chemistry with that third line is looking really good. Obviously, he has a little bit more veteran experience. He's got the speed. He's got the factor to be utilized in all situations as well. So we'll see what happens there. He could be arguably the tiebreaker, because the tiebreaker is going to go to the vet in that instance. So hopefully that's going to be the case, because, there are a lot of good problems to have with this Maple Leafs team. Tough decisions, but ones that they could definitely put forward and say, whether we put this guy in or this guy in, it's still going to work out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Guys, before we close out here, one last thing. I just want to touch base on the ECHL Newfoundland Growlers. Succumbing to financial issues in the ECHL, and it's tough as an affiliate of the Maple Leafs. The players that were there, obviously the ones that aren't signed to contracts become free agents. Otherwise, the other players are looking for homes at the moment, including goaltending prospect Vyacheslav Pexa, who has really taken a step forward in his development as well. So that's a tough day for Newfoundland and the Newfie viewers that we have here at Sticks in the Six. Hopefully everybody lands on their feet, and hopefully they can find a way to get a team back out there soon. With that, boys, we're going to go take a look at this game and see if we can get the Leafs back in it. Anything else you wanted to say before we close out the episode this week?
Nothing except for, I think I just scrolled through Twitter. I tweeted about it. Wall can't keep letting in the first shot every time he faces. That's kind of been a constant since he's come back. I know the injury has been rough on him, multiple months, but he's got to dig deep at this point.
Well, boys, as always, it was fun getting together again this week after our little hiatus. Glad to see everybody's doing well. And thank you to everybody who's tuned in. Shout out to the Hockey Podcast Network for continuing to have us on. Make sure you check out all the socials below. We are on TikTok as well. We're getting some good viewership on TikTok with some of the latest videos we've been posting. Make sure you hit subscribe on YouTube. This will be live on all your streaming services, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, tomorrow morning. So if you missed out on anything, make sure you tune in. Otherwise, gentlemen, we will see you next week for episode 155, a lot more playoff talk and talking about where we see our Maple Leafs going in that first round. Until next week, go Leafs, go.